Our gospel this morning comes to us from the fourth chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of the Lord.
Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Upstairs in our office at home, back behind some suitcases, beyond some hanging garment bags, lies this fire safe. Hidden away there and inside are some really important documents. Documents like my birth certificate from the hospital in Garrison, signed by Dr. John T. Boyle. We knew him as Doc Boyle. All of those years ago, he signed off on it. And in the midst of it is my baptismal certificate from November 11th, signed off on by Pastor Salveson and my aunt and uncle, Ed and Loretta, as sponsors. There are other things in here. There's a passport. There's all sorts of stuff. And at the bottom of it, what is it? It's all about my identity. This box contains who I am. So if I ever get confused, all I have to do is go up to the office, crawl in back of the closet, and I can find out once again who I am. It is good to know who we are. Today's text in the Gospel of Matthew is all about identity. And this huge word, it's really tiny, but it's a huge word comes flying in, just two letters. If, the tempter says, if you are the Son of God. Those words slither out of the tempter's mouth, sliding up to Jesus, trying to bounce around and find out if there is some sort of crack that they can get into. If you are the Son of God. Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days, and Scripture says he was driven there to be tempted by the devil. That is an interesting line, that Jesus was taken out in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after 40 days, I don't know about you, but me, if I was fasting that long, would be hungry. And the tempter slithers in, not with something huge. Instead, it's small. See that stone? Turn it into bread. You won't be hungry anymore. If you are the Son of God. If. It's all about identity. Now, I'd love to stay in the midst of this text, and we could go through temptation by temptation. But here's the bottom line. As I read this, Jesus was able to stand against temptation because he knew exactly who he was. He was Son of God. Now, we've got the gift of hindsight, 2,000 years of it, being able to look all the way back, to read about through all sorts of scholars' eyes, or the prophets, or the apostles, or the writers of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, gathered all of the stories together, they laid them out for us, and we are able to read them and understand who this Jesus is. In the very first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verse number 1 begins this way: an account of the genealogy of Jesus, son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph and his brothers. And if that's not enough to help us ground who this Jesus is, in the second chapter, we get to run into Joseph, who is ready to set Mary aside because Mary is pregnant. And it wasn't by him. But an angel comes to him and says, "Don't do it. This child is of the Holy Spirit." And if that's not enough to convince us of who this one is, then along come three wise men. They follow a star, and they're told that one will come. And then we go to the river's edge. They're gathered with John the Baptist, the crazy man in camel's hair clothing, leather belt around his waist, eating locust and wild honey, and he baptizes Jesus. And as Jesus is baptized, a dove descends and the words are spoken, "This is my son, the beloved." There is no question who this is. This Jesus is true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, as we confess in the Nicene Creed. Knowing full well who he is, Jesus is able to withstand the temptations of the tempter. But what about us? Who are we? Who are you? Why'd you show up? What do you come here hoping to have happen, hoping to see? And what about us together? Who are we as Trinity Lutheran Church in downtown Bismarck? What I love about this congregation in part is there is a deep history, a deep tradition of excellent ministry that has been carried on here generation to generation, led by faithful, excellent leaders who are lay people and council members and committee members and pastors and deacons. And they have served well and faithfully. So my question is not to challenge what has happened in the past, because there is good history here. My question is to ask, where is God leading us? Where is God calling us? So who are we as Trinity Lutheran Church? A number of years ago, I was sitting in a conference in Chicago. I was captivated by the speaker. I loved what they were saying. It was had my brain just rolling. And in the midst of it, I scratched down three questions. There are questions that I've carried to many congregations and different synod assemblies asking people. Three questions. Why, for God's sake, do we exist? Where in Jesus' name are we going? And how, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are we going to get there? Why, for Jesus' sake, do we exist? Where in Jesus' name are we going? And how, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are we going to get there? I want to encourage us to dig into those questions and similar questions about our identity and about where God is calling. There is no question that there is endless ministry that is available to this congregation. But identity, us understanding what it is or who it is that God has called us to be, helps us to define what we say yes to and what we say no to. Monday was my first day in the office. During that day, somewhere around 14 people came in, talked to Jan, and were looking for food. It seems that feeding people has been a history of deep ministry of this congregation, and it's a good thing. It was one of the reasons that I asked you all to bring food to help stock that pantry that Jan goes to and shares with people. Part of the reason that I wanted to do it is because we need to understand the impact in Jesus' name that we can have in this community. Alone, I might be able to provide something like this for someone to eat. It's not going to last long. Together, we can do this. Alone, it doesn't feel like much. Together, God's Holy Spirit gathers us, gifts us, and sends us out for the sake of others. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot be locking our identity away in a fire safe and hide it in the closet. We've got to figure out together where God is calling us into the future, because there's ministry in Jesus' name to be done. There are people who are dying to hear the good news. Amen.